Our nation's founding document mentions that we are endowed by the Creator with our rights. It also says that they appealed to the Supreme Judge of the world. The Scriptures, a book that the vast majority of the founders, but certainly not all, but most of them knew and believed in, says that Jesus is the judge of the world. Christian theology holds that Jesus is divine, but today there are theologians who question that. Dr. Mike Lacona is the author of a massive book on the historicity of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. He teaches theology at Houston Baptist University, and he joins us now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Dr. Lacona, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Jerry. I appreciate you having me back on.
Sure. Okay, so let's talk about the divinity of Jesus. I know that in our time, some people have said, well, this wasn't something that the early church believed. In fact, the Da Vinci Code, which was very, very popular, it basically spread around the idea that, no, actually, it was not until the 300s that they started saying that Jesus was divine, and that was just for the sake of consolidating, you know, religious power, which was equaling political power after a while.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, but, I mean, that is so easily refuted. It's the biggest softball I've ever seen. I mean, all you have to do is go back to Paul in Philippians, and just about every scholar out there would say Paul wrote Philippians in the early 60s. So within 30 years of Jesus' crucifixion, around that time, and Paul says in Philippians 2, he says, Jesus existed in the form of God, and then he contrasts that with Jesus being incarnated and existing in the form of a servant. So what does it mean, form there? And it means, since he's contrasting God with servant, he's talking about role. He existed in the role of God, and then he took on the role of a servant. So Paul's pretty clear there that he is God. Then you've got in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, I think it's verse 6, he says about how Jesus is the creator of the universe. In Colossians, he's the creator and sustainer of the universe. So Paul, those are just a few of the texts, but there are others in Paul. And then you look at Mark's gospel. It's the earliest gospel, probably, written within just a couple of decades of Jesus. And when you read the gospel of Mark through the lens of ancient biography, it brings a ton of stuff into focus that we don't see otherwise. So, for example, Plutarch in the early second century, very early, the first decade of the second century, he talks about how biographies, which were called lives back then, that lives are, they differ from history because they are meant to present the acts and teachings of that person that illuminate their character. So when you read Mark's gospel in light of that, look at how it starts. The voice of one cry, as Isaiah the prophet said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path. And then what's going on there? You think, is it Jesus preparing the way for God? No, it's John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus. So who is Mark? What is he saying about Jesus at the very outset of his gospel? He's saying he's God. Mark chapter 2, Jesus heals a paralytic and forgives his sins. And the Jewish leaders there say, well, that's blasphemy because why? Only God can forgive sins. In chapter 3, he calms the wind and the waves, which the Old Testament says, this is what God does. Chapter 4, he expels some demons and they say, Satan cast out Satan. And Jesus gives that word picture about, look, if you want to bind a strong man, or rob him, you got to bind him first, then you can plunder his goods in his home. And what he's saying by that is his exorcisms demonstrate that he has bound the strong man who is Satan and is now plundering his kingdom. And then chapter by chapter, you know, what human can bind Satan? And then he walks on water. He raises the dead, something the Old Testament says only God can do. So it's like you see in Mark's gospel, he's very clearly saying that Jesus is God. This is something that's also shown in all the other gospels. So everywhere we're finding it in the first century, where it's the earliest in Paul to the latest, which is John's gospel, Jesus is very clearly presented as being God.
Okay, what would you say to somebody who says, well, I don't believe the New Testament. Everything you've said, you know, it's all in reference to the Bible. Where do we find, you know, the idea of Jesus being divine, let's say in non-Christian writers, but even, let's say even Christian writers of the, you know, the early Christian era?
Well, two things. Number one, if the initial objection is still that Jesus wasn't known as deity until the Council of Nicaea, then it's irrelevant whether you believe the Gospels or not. We can still show that Jesus was declared and believed to be God in the flesh, God in some sense, in the early to middle part of the first century, just within a few decades of his life. But then they could say, yeah, but Jesus, like Bart Ehrman, Jesus never said such a thing. He never claimed that of himself. To that, I would respond and say, let's look at this historically. You've got these earliest Christians, the leaders of the Christian church. They're Jews. They're pious Jews. Paul was a Pharisee, very pious. You know, they debated over minutiae of the law, such as could Christians eat meat that had been sacrificed to idols? Could Jewish Christians eat even in the same room as Gentile Christians? Did Gentile male Christians need to be circumcised? Did Jewish Christians need to maintain the temple purification rites? Can you imagine these pious Jews that all of a sudden are just, they're monotheistic Jews? Are they really going to tend to invent something like Jesus is God? Or do we look at this and say, these are very pious, monotheistic Jews? How on earth did they come up with the idea that Jesus is God, is God's uniquely divine son, unless Jesus himself made such claims? The only thing that can adequately explain it. And then when you come to the Gospels themselves, you look at it and you apply the criteria of authenticity, such as early attestation of this, multiple independent sources that attest to this, things that would seem to be embarrassing to the early Christians that would seem to point to Jesus claiming divinity for himself. And this is the kind of stuff that we find. So we've got some pretty significant historical data that would seem to confirm that Jesus made such claims to being God's uniquely divine son. Really, really difficult to account for how the earliest Christian leaders came up with this apart from that.
Okay, so just to clarify, apart from the Bible itself, there are definitely witnesses in history as early as the first century, like Clement, or leaders whose writings are not included in the canon of the scripture, testifying that Jesus is divine, correct?
I'm trying to think for a moment. Clement of Rome does say something about Jesus. I'm trying to think whether he says Jesus is divine. He certainly talks about the resurrection of Jesus, the death of Jesus. I know Ignatius, who writes in the early part of the second century, and he wrote, I think it was six letters on his way to being executed in Rome. He certainly mentions Jesus being God in very clear and unambiguous terms.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Are there secular writers, pagan writers, maybe even arguing with the Christians saying, I don't agree with you, but you are saying that Jesus is divine? Or I don't agree with you because you're saying Jesus is divine. But in other words, they're at least acknowledging the Christian claim that Christians believe Jesus was God.
You certainly have Pliny the Younger, who was a Roman officer and then a politician, and he wrote numerous letters to the Roman emperors and got responses from them. And in one of them, he's writing in the first century, the first decade of the second century, and he said that the early Christians, he witnessed them, that they'd get up on the first day of the week, which was Sunday, before sunrise, they'd gather together and they'd sing hymns to Christ as to a God. And then they would get together, you know, they would take oaths to live morally, and then they would break bread together and celebrate. That's kind of neat. You actually have a non-Christian here who was he acknowledged persecuting and putting Christians to death, and he acknowledges that they were treating Jesus as they would a god.
I do know that Tacitus, I believe that's even in the first century, and certainly Josephus in the first century, both of them would be non-Christian writers, at least acknowledging the Christian movement. And again, one of the core doctrines of the Christian movement is the divinity of Jesus. Okay, now we have about 3.5 minutes left. And I know you have done debates, and you even mentioned Bart Ehrman a moment ago. He was a former evangelical, or so he claims to be, that fell away from the faith and, you know, doesn't believe in Jesus' divinity and so forth. There's written books about this. But you've also debated Muslim scholars. What is the best argument, would you say, that the other side has as against the divinity of Jesus? Or you can even just tell us some of the arguments that you've heard and you've had to refute those arguments against the deity of Christ.
I mean, I guess I think the I don't know the best arguments they have. It's like, I don't think they have good ones.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. But tell us some of the arguments that you've had. We've already heard one that you mentioned from Bart Ehrman. What about Muslims? You've interviewed or debated Muslims. They don't believe Jesus is divine. They think that's even blasphemy to say that.
Yeah, because the Quran has Jesus saying that he never told people that he was God. In one of the surahs or chapters, it has God asking him, "Did you say that you, Mary, and me are gods?" Of course, I'd respond to that and say, "Well, you know, I don't believe the Quran on that. Nobody really claims that Mary's a god. Now, the Catholics have a very high view of Mary, but they don't think that she is God in any sense. So that just shows that Muslims in the early 7th century misunderstood Catholic adoration of Mary to be regarding her as divine. That just shows a mistake in the Quran, nothing else. But I don't, you know, again, if I were going to talk with a Muslim and they would say, you know, God doesn't have a son, then I would just point that, well, you're getting that from the Quran. I don't believe the Quran. And I would give several reasons why I don't believe the Quran. And then I would go ahead and I'd reinforce some of my historical arguments for Jesus actually claiming to being divine. And I'd say, look, if he made these claims, if the claims are true, then the Quran is false. If the claims are false, well, then the Quran is also false because it says Jesus was a true prophet, and here he is claiming to be the Son of God. He'd be a false prophet if he weren't. So either way, the Quran is false. It shouldn't be trusted when it comes to the claims it's making about Jesus. And if you don't like the Gospels, which you often criticize, I'd say this to the Muslims, if you don't like the Gospels, which you often criticize, because they were written 20 to 65 years after Jesus, then why should I believe the Quran, which was written at least 600 years after Jesus?
Wow, that is so interesting. Okay, we have about a minute left. RisenJesus.com is your website. What else do you want to say in closing about the deity of Jesus, and does it matter?
Yeah, look, if Jesus rose from the dead, then we should believe his claims. And I think the evidence we have for the resurrection of Jesus is better, even better than the evidence we have that Jesus claimed to be divine, to be deity. And if Jesus rose from the dead, it's game, set, match. Christianity is true, period. And that gives us some good reason to trust the Gospels there to see what Jesus said about himself.
Okay, 10 seconds. What's the name of that big fat book you wrote about the resurrection? And congratulations on that. That was really good. I know it was, I think it's just called The Resurrection of Jesus, right?
Correct, with the subtitle, A New Historiographical Approach.
Excellent. Dr. Mike Lacona, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.